You can learn piano the classical way, and you can learn the jazz way. But if you've grown up around Chicago, you can never get the blues out of your system. This is pianist Myra Melford from her new album, Snowy Egret. As a kid, Melford ended up abandoning the classical path, didn't satisfy her need to improvise. She didn't get serious about music again until she was a young adult. But when she was a girl, her first piano teacher had a background in boogie-woogie.
He was teaching me classical piano, but at the end of the lesson, I'd beg him to play the blues for me, and eventually he had me sit in with him, and, you know, even from a young age, I was, you know, playing four hands with him. So that really made a big impression on me.
Can you articulate what it was that attracted you to the blues when you were young?
Now, I got to spend a lot of time as a kid going down to Chicago to hear some of the old great blues players, including Mama Yancey, Jimmy Yancey's wife, and got to hear Otis Spann once and some other people. And it was, there was some, like, I couldn't have put it into words at that time, but there was something about the feeling of the soulfulness of what they were expressing that really touched me, even from an early age.
So the music on this new album, the album is called Snowy Egret, and there's a concept here. This is actually part of something bigger, if you could explain that.
Yeah, this music began as my musical response, if you will, to a book I was reading by Eduardo Galeano. It was the first book in his Memory of Fire trilogy, which is called Genesis. This trilogy is Galeano's history of the Americas from pre-Columbian times up till 1984 when it was published. And it really captured my imagination. And I started writing these very short bits of material that I thought could be developed through improvisation and then woven together in a suite to sort of be my musical impressions about the things he was talking about. I thought then the way to fill out the story would be to add visuals. So I brought in a videographer and a dancer to kind of embody some of the emotional and physical stories that were being told.
And even without knowing any of the background, it does sound like you're telling a story on this record. Is that a typical approach for you musically?
You know, I don't think so. I think this was kind of a departure for me. I've never really thought about music in sort of literary terms or in literal terms. But for me, there was also this very conscious effort to think about what it means to be an American in the larger sense, in the pan-American sense, and what the various musics of the Americas and musics that have influenced Americans, how that has impacted me and inspired me over the years.
You had experienced some contact early on with some people who were considered pretty out there musicians, saxophonist Oliver Lake, pianist Anthony Braxton. Maybe it's because of your association with these musicians. I see you described all the time as an avant-garde pianist. And I wonder, what does that even mean anymore, to be an avant-garde jazz pianist?
You know, I don't think it means any one thing. Because, you know, I don't think of myself as being avant-garde. I think of avant-garde as, like, at the forefront, changing the music. But what people have come to associate it with is the kind of radical experimentation that was happening in jazz in the 60s. You know, the kind of innovative things that Cecil Taylor was doing, or Andrew Hill, or Mujal Richard Abrams. And they were, you know, experimenting with very specific kinds of vocabulary, atonal, very energetic, you know, very propulsive. And, you know, that's become what avant-garde means to people. So I freely acknowledge that I was influenced and inspired by that music and have found a way to incorporate those ideas into my own vocabulary. But I don't think of myself as avant-garde in that sense. I can just as easily be very lyrical and melodic, or, you know, play within a harmonic structure or a very specific groove. So I'm not really sure what it means anymore.
You know, it's kind of funny. I think that where people's ears are now, I feel like, you know, some of what might be considered your avant-garde jazz, like the percussive way in which you approach the piano, some of the guitar and that kind of stuff might be more accessible than traditional jazz to like the mainstream audience these days.
You know, it's funny because I played at the Chicago Jazz Festival last August, and, you know, that's an audience where there may be 10,000 people out there, and the people who really know your music are right up front. And then, you know, this crowd just goes on and on back from the stage. And I got the most rousing response from this big crowd when I would do that kind of playing. And I think it really does speak to people. It's very physical. It's very immediate. And people just went crazy, and that really surprised me.
That's Myra Melford. Her new album is called Snowy Egret, and that's also the name of the quintet that she leads. Myra, it's been great speaking with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.